Philippians chapter 2 is where I want you to open up to, and we're going to start there. This past Sunday morning, I don't know if you were here, maybe you got a chance to watch on podcast or the video if you didn't see it live. We had a special guest minister, Danny Johnson, brought an awesome word, and the bottom line of his message was, don't settle for a blessing. Keep pressing in until you get changed. I just don't want to be blessed. I want to be changed. And he sparked an idea in my heart that I want to teach on tonight. And this is how God actually changes us. Because it hit me. I'm a preacher's kid, so I've grown up surrounded by church folk, and I've been surrounded by preachers, and I've been in church services. My mom had me in church a week after I was born, all right? I have missed very little church in my life, which is great. But I have been hearing for years, people ask, the question, how Pastor Josh, and I'll be honest, this is probably the question I'm asked the most as a pastor. How's God going to change me? I want to be changed, but how does he do it? How does this work? And I thought, man, I've got some answers for you. It just hit me after his message. All right, how does Jesus change my life? All right, how does he actually transform us? Is there some way that he, zaps us? It'd be awesome if, just like you could download an app to your phone, you could download life change to your brain, but that's not how it works. God has a specific plan where he changes us and how he works. I have heard some bad advice given. I've heard some people, how many of you have heard, just wait on the Lord? Just wait on the Lord. He'll change you. And some people wait so long they drop dead. They are waiting and it don't happen. All right? And there's a truth in being patient and waiting on God through the process of asking and receiving, but that's not the process of change, all right? And then I've heard the opposite bad advice where people believe that it's all on them, where they've got to be so aggressive in their life change that they get overzealous and they end up making mistakes, or they end up getting exhausted, or they get wore out because they're trying to do too much on their own without the power of God, and they still end up in the same place, and they struggle. And so what do I do in order to grow? Is it all God? Is it all me? Or is it a combination? How does this work? And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, deals with this right here, specifically in Philippians 2. He gives you the answer. Paul knew this would be something we all had to deal with if we're really wanting to grow, we want our faith to develop, we want to change, then he knew this was going to be something we had to focus on, and he thought, I'm going to help everybody out. When it comes to my spiritual growth, and you all have probably, if you've heard me preach, you've heard me say this before, God has his part, but guess what? We have our part. There is a God part, and there is a my part. And Paul breaks this down better than I can, and so we're going to read what he has to say about it. And he gives us two phrases here that cooperate, that work together for us to learn and grow from. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he goes, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I'm going to read the last half of this again. He says, continue to work out. Everybody say, work out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in. Everybody say, works in. Who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And then he finishes that out to, verse 14. He goes on to say, and don't complain about it, all right, which is great, but we're not going to talk about that. So he says, work out your salvation and then work in, all right? I had you say those both because those are two very key phrases in that passage that if you're going to learn the process of how you change, you're going to know these passages, and we're going to break them down. Work out and work in. Now listen, work out is your part. Work in is God's part. Work out is your part. Work in is God's part. We are to work out what God is working in, all right? Notice it didn't say work for your salvation. Didn't say to work for the salvation. It says work out, all right? Remember, the Bible says it's not about your works, lest any man should boast, all right? And who is Paul writing to? He starts off in verse 12. He says, my dear friends. Who is he writing to? Who is this targeting? Believers, Christians. So we know he's writing to Christians. They're already Christians to whom Paul's talking to. And so what he's letting us know is he's saying, listen, you need to start by developing and working on what you've already got, what you already have. Work this out. If you're born again, if you're a believer, if Jesus is your Lord, you're living for the Lord, then you've already got everything you need to grow on the inside of you. He's equipped you with it. So start working this thing out. Take advantage of what you've got, all right? For example, when you start doing a physical workout, you start exercising or you're lifting weights, all right, you're not working out to get a new body or somebody else's body, all right? I'm going to start working out because I want that guy's body. No, you are working out to fix up this body, your body, all right? It's working with your goods, whatever you got. That's what you got to work with, all right? It'd be nice. I go to Planet Fitness all the time, and there's one dude on my left, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, dude, I wish I could lift like that guy. But then there's a guy on my right where I'm like, I'm glad I'm not lifting like that dude. You got the balance there. It don't matter. I've got to work with what I've got, all right? And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying, all right? It's like having a puzzle. How many of you like working with puzzles? You got the patience for a puzzle. I really don't, but God bless you. But with a puzzle, you're working, putting together a puzzle. You have all the pieces together, right? You've already got all the pieces that you need, unless you've got toddlers and then they've lost them. But if you've got a brand new puzzle, you've got everything you need to put it all together. You still have to put it together, but you got all the pieces right there, all right? And so this is what Paul's saying. He's saying, work out your salvation. Everybody say yours. Say mine. Work out your salvation. What he's talking about here is he's saying this is a personal, individual assignment. He's saying, you got to focus on who? Me. You got to focus on you, all right? In other words, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to change, I've got to accept personal responsibility. I don't need to be worried about you. I don't need to be worried about what you're going through, about your Bible study habits, about what you're posting on Facebook, lack of spirituality, whatever it is. You know who I need to be focusing on? Me. I need to work out my own salvation. And that's one thing you got to learn real quick in the church is that, listen, when you come here, you're going to be surrounded by all kinds of believers at all different levels, at all different walks, from all different backgrounds. Love them, pray for them, but listen, you cannot focus on what they're doing for the Lord and what the Lord is doing for them. Be happy for them, rejoice with them, or mourn with them. But you can only work out your salvation. You accept responsibility for yourself. Not for me, not for, I can preach it for you or to you, but I can't live it for you. I can only live it for myself, all right? I learned that lesson a long time ago from my father. He can preach it to anybody, and he has preached it all over the world, but he can't live it for anybody. All he can do is present the gospel. You've got to accept personal responsibility here, right? And God says, listen, there's a reason why it's personal responsibility, because God has made us and designed us uniquely. You know what God does not want? I'll tell you what he does want. He does want a unified church, but what he does not want is a bunch of cloned Christians. Everybody marches and does the exact same thing, and we all, no, he wants you being you, working through you with your gifts and your personality and what you find funny and what you are sad at. He wants to work through you. He loves you. He made you the way you are, but he says you got to be responsible for your salvation, all right? And in other words, what does this gospel mean in your life? What does this word, what does this faith mean to you? Into your life, all right? He doesn't want you to be another Daryl Huffman. He doesn't, definitely not another Josh Huffman, all right? He wants you to be you. And so he says, take a personal accountability here, all right? And be responsible for your salvation. He goes on to say, with fear and what? Trembling. With fear and trembling. And that verse gets confused because a lot of people feel like, well, that means fearing God. No, it doesn't mean be afraid of God. God never wants you to be afraid of him, all right? There's never, as a believer, there's never a time where a Christian should be afraid of God in terms of fearing him, like I'm scared of God, what he'll do to me, what he'll, you know, what'll happen to. He doesn't want you to be afraid of him, okay? You're part of his family. I never want my children to ever be afraid of dad. All right? I don't want them to be afraid of dad. But I do want, and this is what God wants for you. He does want you to take your salvation seriously. All right? I do want my children to honor my wishes. I do want them to obey me. I want them to take my commands seriously. And this is what this is referring to. Take salvation seriously. Salvation affects eternity. So since it affects eternity, it really matters a whole lot. So don't take it lightly. Don't play games with it. All right? This is what he's saying here. The most important thing in your life, if you haven't figured this out, the most important thing in your life right now, it's not bills that you don't have money for or job situations. Or those are all important. I'm not trying to diminish them, but it is your spiritual growth. It is your spiritual growth. That is the most important thing in your life because it not only affects you, it affects your eternity. It doesn't affect how you live and believe right here, right now. It affects your eternity. It affects your legacy of faith. It's so much invested. So God says, take this seriously, all right? For it is God who works in you, who works in you. Remember, that is God's part, all right? Now, that word works right here, I don't have time to break it down, you know, completely, but that's where we get the word energy from. It's a Greek word. And we get the definition of this is the word energy, all right? In other words, God is the catalyst. He's the one who energizes this change in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have a part, but God also has a part. He wants to be that backing. He wants to be that inspiration. He wants to be that spiritual energy that helps your faith to grow, that helps you transform, that helps you change, that helps you overcome, that helps you break out, that helps you break loose. All these things, God says, I want to be that for you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to energize you. I'm going to help you. That's who I am, to help you overcome and accomplish and give you that capability to change. That's who God is, all right? Now, for God to change you, there are three tools, three resources, three ways. There's more, of course, but I'm going to give you a couple tonight that he uses on a regular basis to help us change. This is God's part. Everybody say, this is God's part. So if you're writing down notes, if you're taking notes in your smartphone, or you brought a pen and paper, or you're chiseling through stone, whatever you do, okay, just... these are things that you want to pay attention to, write down, all right? So remember these later. God's part, three tools he used. The first one is the most obvious one, and this is the one that everybody should guess. I shouldn't have to tell you. Number one, how does God change me? Through his word. He uses the Bible. He has always used this word since this word became a word. He has used the Bible, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says that the word of God says the whole Bible, the whole word of God was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful by God to teach us what's true, help us to see what's wrong in our lives. I'm paraphrasing. It straightens us out, helps us to do what is right. It's God's way of making us well-prepared at every point. This word is how God speaks to us on a regular basis, all right? The Bible, it changes your thoughts. It changes your perspective. It changes us. So if you are serious about change, you've got to be serious about reading this book. It has to be a part of your life. It has to be a part of your habits, all right? You've got to read it. You've got to study it. You've got to memorize it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to live it. You've got to actually do this stuff. It's not a book that you just read. You've actually got to live this thing. You've got to apply the teachings in here. If you'll begin to do these things, then the Bible says that God will help change your life. The more you apply this word in your life, there are people, listen, as a pastor of nearly 20 years, can you believe I've got almost 20 years? My wife and I have been pastoring in this church nearly 20 years now. And the one thing that I've seen is there are people who know a lot of this word but don't apply it. And they've changed less than people who know less of this word but apply what they know. That's why the Bible teaches us to be a doer of this word, not just a hearer only. All right? Because they're doing what they know, they're changing. And the more you apply and obey and listen and do this word, the more God energizes and transforms your life, the more he changes you, okay? Whenever I hear someone say, I don't have faith, did you read the word? Yeah, that's not true. Because if you were reading this word, you'd have some kind of faith. If you don't have faith, it's because you have stopped reading this word. It's really that simple. I'm not trying to be rude or harsh about it, but if they're not reading the, what do you expect? Why do people, it's never made sense to me, all right? I'm a very practical person, and when I hear people fussing about why God's not coming through for them and they don't have faith, and I'm asking them, well, did you read the Bible? And they're like, no. Well, then why did you expect to have faith if you didn't read the Bible? It's like going to your ATM and pulling in your, you know, putting your debit card, and it's saying you don't have a balance. I don't have any money. Well, did you have any to deposit? No. Did you have a job to earn that money? No. Well, this is stupid. Why are you expecting things that you didn't invest in? All right? That doesn't make sense to me. But people always try to justify lazy behavior. They want God to bail them out instead of having to do their part in God, you know. So this is how this works. The Bible teaches us that faith comes by what? Hearing. Comes by hearing, and hearing by this word. That's how faith comes, all right? And God uses this word as his primary source to change us. There's no way getting around that. You don't have to like it, but you have to do it. He's going to use this word. That's how he's going to speak to us. Second tool he uses, the Holy Spirit. He uses the Holy Spirit. This is why we preach the Spirit of God. It's why we minister to people to be filled with the Spirit of God. God places that Holy Spirit not just upon us, but in us. Fills us with his Holy Spirit. And guess what? The power to change comes from the Holy Spirit. That's where it comes. If you want change, you got to be filled with this Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:11, once the Spirit lives within you, he'll bring to your whole being new strength, new vitalities. I love, he says, in the NIV, he says, he gives life to your mortal bodies. All right, that sounds old school. I love it, mortal bodies. He gives life to you, all right? God brings power into your life through the Holy Spirit, all right? Remember, the Holy Spirit is not the Force like in Star Wars. All right, may the Force be with you. May the Holy Spirit be with you. That's not how this works. The Holy Spirit is God himself. That is the very Spirit and presence of God. It's God in spirit form. Dwelling in you, dwelling with you, going before you, upon you. It's so powerful. When you commit your life to God, the Bible says he releases his Holy Spirit into you. And then when you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just renew this power source from the power of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 3:18, as the Spirit of the Lord works with us, we become more and more and more like him. We become more and more and more like him. See, God's number one purpose for your life is not for you to be happy. I know that punches all of the modern secular, you know, thought process right in the throat. But God's number one plan for you is not to be happy. You know what his number one purpose is for you? To be like Jesus. That's his number one plan for you. It's to be like Jesus. All right? And so what God's plan is, his idea here is he wants to tell you through his word how to change. He describes it to you through his word. Here's how you change. And then through the Holy Spirit, he gives you the power to do what he's just shown you. You see how this works? The dynamic? The word teaches you. The word talks to you. The word shows you. And then the power gives you the energy to go through with it, to follow through with that change. And then through that process, you're empowered. You see that life change start to take place. All right, now, there is a third way that God works through, but I'm going to first preface that by saying this is not his first choice. This is not his prioritized way to teach us or to change us. How many of you have ever thought to yourself after going through something in life? I remember when I was in high school, I wasn't a bad kid, but I made dumb decisions. And there was a point where I just sat there one day and I was thinking, God, why do I always end up learning the hard way? How many of you have asked yourself that question before? You know, why do I have to learn the hard way? There's this, you know, there's an easier way to learn this. Why am I stupid? Why am I doing this? I've asked myself that so many times. Why do I learn the hard way? Dumb. All right? I'm not dumb. I should know better than this. I've asked myself that so many different times, all right? God's best for you is for you to miss the mess. Still in that. His to miss the mess. Everybody say, miss the mess. He does not want you going through something unnecessary. He's a good Heavenly Father. I taught on this a couple Wednesdays ago. I probably could have kept that train of thought going too, now that I think about it. But He's a good Father, all right? But the reality is this. So many times, we refuse to listen by not getting in this word, not following this word, or not heeding the voice of the Holy Spirit or the leading or the direction or the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we do our own thing. And when we do our own thing, guess what God's purpose remains for us? It's still to be like Jesus. So we're pursuing something to change, but in the process, we understand, well, I still want to change, but I want to be comfortable. Or I still want to change, but I still want to be happy. Or I still want to change, but I want to change as long as it's easy. And then God's word says, all right, you're going to change, but it's not going to be the path or the direction or the way you thought. It's going to be a little more difficult. Or you're going to have to discipline. Oh, the ugly D word. All right? Or you're going to have to work. Or you're going to have to sacrifice. Or you're going to have to, and then you're going to have to trust me through this process. And a lot of times people ignore the word. They don't pay attention to it, or they hear it and don't apply it, all right? And then they don't respond to the unction of the Holy Spirit, and they don't get the power of God released. And so what ends up happening is this. Even though God wants us to miss the mess, He still has a plan for you to be like Jesus and to change. So a lot of times He'll use circumstances. Circumstances is His third way. He will work through circumstances, all right? I'll break it down a little bit. Romans 8, 28, 29, to those who love God. How many of you love God? That was almost half. That was not bad. Maybe I asked too quick. Tough crowd. Romans 8, 28, those who love God and are called according to His plan. How many of you are called? It was about the same number of people. Half y'all getting saved tonight. The Bible says, everything for those who love God and are called according to His purpose, all right? We know, I'll read it through NIV, and we know that in all things God works for those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. All right, keep going. For God chose us to bear the family, the likeness, all right? He foreknew, predestined to conform to the end, so that He might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In other words, this is what He's saying. There is nothing that could come into your life, all right, the believer's life, without God's permission, all right? God is working through you. You understand that? He's working through you. And it's not that He's placing things on you to punish you. He's not putting sickness on you. Why would He send Jesus to die on the cross for our sin and our sickness, only to put that sin and sickness right back on us? That's not what's working. But God is not a puppet master. He's not up in heaven manipulating and controlling every single thing that happens. All right? And how many of you know that there's a devil loose? And He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. So what God has determined is this, all right? Because I'm not going to force you to be right. I'm not going to force you to grow. I'm not going to force you to change. I'm going to give you all the tools you need. But even though when you choose not to use these resources that I freely and worked so hard to get you, I'm still going to figure out a way to work things out for your good, to bring that change into your life. Because ultimately, Jesus is the plan for us to be like Jesus. All right, so He says, if I got to go around some difficult corners, if I got to take some detours to get you there, sometimes there's an easy way, and sometimes there's a hard way. But either way, they end up in the same place, all right? One way takes a little bit longer, and there's a little bit more price, but God says, I'm going to get you there, all right? And so He says, there is a divine pattern. There is a divine plan. Everybody say, there is a divine plan. God does have a plan here, all right? And you have to trust that plan. So, excuse me, where do these problems come from? How many of you got problems? How many got 99 problems? I'm not going there, I'm just joking. Are they from the devil? Are they from God? Are they, you know, from my jerk boss? I don't know, we can name all kinds of things, all right? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because no matter what, if you love God and you are called according to His purpose, if you'll place your faith in God, then He'll ultimately turn them for your good. So it doesn't matter where the problems come from. That's why the Bible teaches us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, all right? But against principalities, powers. Understand there's a devil loose. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's never going to stop. But if you place your faith in God, it doesn't matter if the problem's from a bad report. It could be from a bad situation. It could be, you name it. It doesn't matter. But if you'll get your heart right, get back in faith. The Bible says, trust in God's plan. Again, his divine pattern is to help you be like Jesus. If you'll trust him, he'll help get you through there, okay? But if I don't miss the mess, that means there might be, through this pattern, there might be some difficult paths that I have to walk through and trust God through. Did Jesus have to go through some difficult paths to fulfill the ultimate plan for that God had for him? Oh, yeah. Oh, he most certainly did, all right? You know that there were times the Bible says Jesus was lonely. There were times where Jesus he was tempted. There were times where Jesus had a chance where he could be angry and blow up, lose his temper. There were so many opportunities for him to do the wrong thing, where he was challenged, where he had to go through a difficult situation, all right? If we choose God's word and God's spirit to grow, there is a good chance that you can miss some of the difficult roads that you may have to go on by avoiding that word, okay, instead of ignoring that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's best for you is to learn it through this word and then allow the Holy Spirit to change and transform you without having to go through that pain. But if you choose to ignore this word and choose to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit, then a lot of times you're going to end up going through a process. If God wouldn't spare his own son going through some of these difficult processes, then what makes you think he would spare you, all right? He's more interested in your character. He wants you to be like Jesus. And a lot of times when we ignore the easy road, the easier path, which is the word of God, applying this word, all right, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, then you're choosing a more difficult path, all right? But God still can work through that. And a lot of times that's what he ends up doing. Hebrews 5:8, the Bible teaches us that Jesus learned obedience through suffering, all right? Hebrews 2:10, Jesus was made perfect through, there's that ugly S word again, suffering, all right? Jesus went through some difficult things, all right? Now, the Bible teaches us that he went through those things for us so we don't necessarily have to. But that applies if you'll listen and do this word. All right? If you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. But if you refuse to use this word, but you're still trying to grow, chances are you're going to have to go through some of this stuff. All right? That's not God's best, but he'll still get you there. Do you understand what I'm going through here, okay? He works first through his word, then the Holy Spirit. But if those don't work, he'll use circumstances. All right? Here's a good illustration of this. All right? Say you're on a boat. The boat has autopilot, okay? It's got autopilot, all right? And no, I don't want to use this. I don't want to use this illustration yet. I'm going to save this one because I just had a better way of presenting this, all right? Let's put it this way. Let's present it this way. You know that God's word says to be humble, okay? To be humble. And so you're like, all right, I want to be humble. But when you're given an opportunity to be humble and apply this word, you're not. You're full of pride. Okay, or you're full of arrogance. Well, guess what's going to happen now, okay? You're going to have to learn humility through a circumstance, all right? Do you understand? It's a lot of times when God's working in you, these things are being developed. So if you can grow through the Word of God and you have patience through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit giving you that supernatural patience, awesome. But if it doesn't grow through the Word and grow through the Holy Spirit and you cooperating with that Word, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to develop patience by being placed in situations where you are being tested, all right? You're going to be stuck in traffic. You're going to be stuck behind somebody at the grocery store who has like 17,000 coupons, all right? Do you understand? You're going to get a chance for that patience to develop, all right? If you're believing God for self-control and you're not getting it through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, then guess what's going to happen? They're going to build a Dairy Queen three houses down from you, okay? You're going to get a chance and an opportunity to develop self-control through circumstances. This is how this works, all right? And some of you are like, but no way, God wouldn't, bless me with Dairy Queen. and then tempt me with. And that's a blessing. Total. Anyway. All right. I'm going to save that boat illustration. I'm going to pull that out in a minute. All right. I had a better way of applying that. All right. So this is how God works through. He works through his word. First through his word. Then through the Holy Spirit. But if those aren't working, he's going to use circumstances. But he wants to change you to be like Jesus. Okay. That's God's part. All right, there's a lot more I could go into, but it's already 10 till, and I want to get through the rest of this. This is my part. Everybody say my part. This is my part now. This is where you it kicks in for you, okay? Your part is, first, you choose what you think about. You've got to choose what you and your mind dwell on. And this is so big, and this is so important. The reason why is because spiritual growth is not automatic. Man, I wish it was. I wish the moment you became born again, you just started instinctively spiritually growing and just, you know, instinctively started lining up with the Word of God. Just happened, but it's not how it works. It's not how it works at all, okay? It doesn't come passively. Change is a matter of choice. You've got to choose to change, and you've got to choose what you think about. Proverbs 4:23, be careful what you think because your life is totally shaped by your thoughts. It defines the way you live your life. It defines, shapes your life, your thought life, all right? You aren't what you think you are, but what you think you are. Do you understand? What you think you are, all right? Your thoughts don't just direct your life. Your thoughts are your life. There's so much in the Word of God about this, all right? If I could put our thoughts on a giant screen like the one behind me or even bigger than that, all right? That's how we would learn who you really are. It wouldn't be by what you look like right now. It wouldn't be by even what you're just saying or what you're posting on social media. It would be by what we see in that mind. That reveals who you really are, what you really believe, what you really think determines your life. And this is what the Bible's going to, okay? So change in you, spiritual change, your part begins in your thought life. Always has, always will. Ephesians 4:23 and 25. Your mind must be renewed, is what the Bible says, by a spiritual revelation so that you can put on the new self that has been created in God's image, God's way. All right? Change always begins with new thinking. Do you know what the Bible's word for change is? Repentance. That's the Bible word for change. It's the word repentance, all right? In a lot of Greek definition, it means to change your mind. That's the word, the repentance, all right? In other words, when I repent, we look at repent like, well, that just means, you know, no sinning. No, it just means I'm choosing to change. That's simply what repentance means. I'm choosing to change. I want to change. I want to break free. I want God to work through me. And so whenever you repent, what it means is I'm changing the way I think. Instead of thinking the old way, I'm going to think God's way. And so when you repent according to God's word, it starts to redefine the way you see, the way you think about yourself, the way you think about others, the way you treat people, the way you talk, because it's changing your thinking. It's being reprogrammed according to God's word, perspective on life. Everything starts to change. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want changed, it starts by renewing your mind, all right? Here's where my speedboat illustration comes in. I was thinking about it before, and it would have worked on that one, but it's really going to work well on this one, all right? So imagine you've got a speedboat, and this speedboat has automatic pilot, all right? And all of a sudden, you realize, I'm heading in the wrong direction. I don't want to head that direction any longer. I want to head the opposite direction. So you've got a couple choices. What a lot of people end up choosing is that automatic pilot has that boat going as hard and as fast as it can in one direction. They start grabbing that steering wheel and just chugging and straining and doing everything they can to try to turn that boat. And there are times where the boat starts to turn. And they may even fight and struggle enough to where the boat goes the direction they want to go in for a while. But what happens is that eventually they get weary, they get worn out, they get tired, and that automatic pilot turns it right back towards the direction they don't want to go in because they can't keep it up, all right? So what do I do? Change the automatic pilot. What is the automatic pilot? It's the way you think. It's the way you think. All right? You have to reprogram your mind, change your perspective. That's what this happens, okay? And so what ends up happening here is this. All right? That change starts in your mind. How can I change and reprogram, you know, my mind? You've got to get in the Word of God. The Bible says that change, it starts in the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. Change that automatic pilot. So what is your automatic pilot? I'm going to help you figure that out real quick, okay? Finish this sentence. You don't have to say this out loud. In fact, please don't say this out loud, okay? But finish this sentence to yourself. It's just like me to be blank. It's just like me to fill in the blank, all right? It's just like me to be negative. It's just like me to be depressed. It's just like me to be lazy. It's just like me to be fill in the blank, all right? Whatever that is, it's going to show the agenda that you've set for your life. It's going to begin to reveal and expose, you know, what you're really focused on. What you really believe about yourself, all right? And I'm not expecting you to, you know, spill open all your guts in a, you know, a two-minute portion of this message, but this is something that you need to take with you and dwell on and focus. It's just like me, or I always do, or I always fill in the blank there, because that's what you really think about yourself. And if you're going to change, you've got to start with your mind, all right? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, your word, O Father, is truth. All right, if you want to change, you start filling your mind with Scripture. Psalm 1:3, blessed is the man who meditates on God's Word. When we meditate on the Word of God, it gets in our heart, gets in our mind, reprograms, re-identifies, redefines the way we think, changes our thoughts. Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Then it tells you what you got to think about or what you should think about. It's all throughout the Word of God. Colossians 3:6, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. It's so much here. All right, remember, God is showing us. His part is showing us what we need to do to change. Your part is actually doing it. And you start by allowing that word to change the way you think. Joshua 1:8, the secret of success is meditate on God's word day and night. Stay dwelling, stay focused on that. Then you'll be successful, all right? If you're not having a time with God to allow his word to change you, to meditate and change the way you're thinking, all right, you are not seeing near the change that God wants to see in your life, all right? That's your part. Number two is I have to choose to be led by the Spirit. I have to choose to be led by the Spirit. And I could emphasize that daily or moment by moment, whatever, all right? This is where that power that God introduces, this is where it starts to kick in, is when you allow yourself and you choose to be led by the Spirit of God. Jesus illustrated this awesome in John 15. He said, take care to live in me and let me live in you. I'm reading this out of a different translation, guys, back there. I changed it last second on you. For a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. See, the branch is totally dependent on the vine. And this is where Jesus is illustrating here, okay? He's saying, listen, when it's cut off from that vine, it no longer produces, whether it's grapes or figs or whatever he was necessarily referring to here. He said, a branch can't produce fruit by itself. It's got to be connected to a source here. It's got to be connected. Everybody say connected. Jesus is saying, this is the way you need to be with God. When you disconnect from God, then you stop producing. You stop changing. When you stay connected to God, stay connected to the source of power, then you continue to grow, all right? God has all the power in the world, everything you'd ever need to change, to live holy, to live right, to experience the goodness of God. But it's not automatic. You have to choose to stay connected here, all right? Stay plugged in, stay tuned in. This is how he works, all right? And again, what a lot of believers do is a lot of us try to fool people into thinking we're producing fruit. A lot of people have allowed themselves to be disconnected, all right? And so they're really a dead tree, and they just tape a bunch of fruit to themselves and show up to the church and act like they got it all together. I see it all the time. And the reason why I know they're faking it is because whenever I have the real discussions with them and they're going through a real situation, they don't have anything on the inside. They become disconnected. There's no power there. All right? And they display all their fruit proudly. Look what I got. I added a new orange. And I'm like, you taped it on. You didn't produce any of that. All right? It's not about what we appear. It's about what's on the inside. All right? And you've got to stay connected here. All right? Stop trying to fake everybody out and really grow here. This is important. This is a choice, okay? How do I know? What's my litmus test? What's the indicator? How do I know if someone has stayed connected or disconnected to God? This is so easy. This is so easy. Check your prayer life. Check your prayer life. It's that simple. Check your prayer life. I do this with myself. When I have disconnected from God, I am not praying like I should. It is that simple. It is that clear, all right? Whatever you are praying about, listen, whatever you are praying about, you are trusting and depending on God for. You hear? You're staying connected. Whatever you're praying about, you're depending on, trusting God for. Whatever you don't pray about, you're not depending on God for. You think you got it under control. You think you can handle it. Or you think it's just going to work itself out. All right? What does it mean to depend on God? It means to continually stay in a prayer relationship with God. That doesn't mean that all day long you're, you know, it's not weird or awkward, or you're on your knees all day, or you're chanting, No, it just means you are communing with God on a regular basis. God, I need you right now. God, I need your, it's just staying connected. Do you understand? God's not spooky or weird or strange or mystical or, no, he's present. He's the Holy Spirit. He's with you, all right? And so it's, you know, it's your decisions, your feelings, what you're going through, relationships, deadlines, purchases, you name it. Include him. Because what you're praying about to God, you're depending on God to come and help you with, all right? Whatever you want God to bless, that's what you pray for. If you want him to bless your relationships, you pray for your relationships. If you want him to bless your finances, you pray for your finances. If you want him to bless your business, your children, your job, you name it, you pray. And you pray God's blessing and you stay connected to God, all right? And it could be a whisper. It doesn't have to be a shout. Sometimes it needs to be a shout. All right, some of y'all, all your prayers are so quiet. Sometimes you need to shout a little bit. Shout them some of them prayers. Wake it up, all right? But then some of you, it's okay to whisper your prayer. The key is to stay connected. The key is to continue praying for God, all right? And no matter what you're doing, talk to him about anything and everything. He's waiting on you, by the way, all right? Third thing, my part, all right? We're going to even these out. Three for God, three for us. Healthy balance. Is this, I have to choose how I respond. I have to choose how I respond. Right? And this is a big one. I deal with this on a practical level with a lot of people a lot of the time. All right? This is one of the biggest things I deal with. All right? There's a connection here between God's resources, what his tools are, what he's provided for us, and our choice. All right? God has the resource of his word. He's given his word. This is the word of God from him to us. But guess what I'm supposed to do? Read it. All right? Duh. I got to buy a part. God has given us his Holy Spirit. But guess what I have to do? I have to depend on it. I have to be led by the Holy Spirit. All right? Everything connects here. Everything works together here. All right? God uses circumstances. We went through that. Well, guess what my part is? I have to choose how to respond in those circumstances. How I'm going to respond in those situations. James 1:24, when all kinds of trials crowd your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. That's tough to do, isn't it? This really is. It's not easy to do. Realize that they come to test your faith, produce in you a quality of endurance, but let that process continue until it's fully developed and you become people of mature character. Maturity. Spiritual maturity. That's a wonderful thing to have. People of integrity. There's something else great to have. And I love this last part, with no weak spots. No weak spots. I love how he said that. All right? It's a process. It really is. Nobody's there yet. It's a process. You got your process. I got mine. Remember what we started with? Seek out your own salvation. You're not responsible for me and my process. Don't be pointing out my weak spots. I won't point out your weak spots. And I see a few. but you see a few of mine. So let's just work together here. You understand? We're born again. We're believers. But as believers, we've got to grow, develop, work out the salvation that we've been given. All right? We've got to do this ourselves. Not work for, but work out. All right? I'm not working for my salvation. I'm working out my salvation. I've already been given this. He's already provided it. He's already died on the cross and rose from the dead. He don't have to do it again. All right? I'm a believer. I'm in. I'm a family. All right? I'm a child. I'm a son. You're a daughter. Whatever. I don't have to go through that again. But work out that salvation. Take that salvation seriously, what he's provided, and work this thing out. That's the implications. Develop it. All right? The more you use the muscles, the more they develop. I know I had to be careful flexing. I didn't want to rip my jacket sleeve off. It would have flown out and disintegrated. What are you laughing for? All right? So there's a process that we're all going through for God to mature us and grow us and for your faith to grow, right? A lot of times you won't even know you have faith till you've been in a real good fight. You understand? This is how it works. This is how it works. Sometimes those faith muscles, they got to be flexed. You got to grow. You got to put it to the test, all right? You've got to be challenged. This isn't easy. Life is not easy. So God wants you equipped and prepared to live this life, living the way he's called us to live it, all right? Experiencing the goodness and the blessing of God, but knowing that there's an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy you, all right? And if you got nothing but weak knees and weak spots all over, he's gonna see your vulnerabilities and he's gonna hit you in your weaknesses. So God says, let's get this together. I love mixed martial arts. I love watching UFC. Anybody else mixed martial arts fans? Love it, all right? Just go crazy over it. Especially now that it's on ESPN because there are a lot more free fights. It's great. But you know what happens is, so I was watching not too long ago, there was a heavyweight fight, and this dude was a monster, all right? Just a monster. Huge. Fists the size of toasters, all right? You get hit by this guy, you are going down. So he's fighting a guy who's a little bit smaller, but yet this guy has learned to wrestle, all right? He's not just a guy who can punch. He's a guy who can get you to the ground and choke you out. Love seeing a good choke out, all right? I know I'm pretty violent, but I love it. And so here's what happens. These guys get in, and the big guy, he's just throwing these massive haymakers, trying to knock this guy out, crush him, all right? And he keeps missing. The guy's dodging, missing. The big guy eventually wears himself out. You can only throw those big haymakers so long. These are big old dudes, 270, 280 pounds. They get tired quickly. So guess what happens? The guy who was just a little bit smaller grabbed him, grappled him, put a leg behind him, got him on the ground, wrestled him, wore him down, put him in a chokehold, tapped that guy out, all right? He knew his weakness. He had a strategy before that fight started, all right, how to take him down. How do you think the enemy is? He's watching you. He's seeing your vulnerabilities. He's seeing your inclinations. He's seeing you avoid certain word, seeing, you know, how you do or do not apply this word. And when he spots those weaknesses and those vulnerabilities, what do you think he's doing? So this big guy, you know what he's working on now? His ground game. All right? Because he doesn't want to be in a position to be wrestled to the ground and get choked out again. He's developing himself. And so this is where our faith process comes in. God says, I want you to be a well-rounded believer. I don't want those weaknesses. I don't want those vulnerabilities in you, okay? There's always going to be an enemy who tries to trip you up, but I want you to know how to defend with the shield of faith. I want you to know how to fight off the enemy, how to use your faith, and during that process, still grow. Be used by me effectively, all right? This is a process. And James here, James in this passage, we were reading in chapter 1, James is teaching us, saying, listen, I can choose how I respond in life. I can choose my response, all right? You cannot choose what's going to happen to you next week. You cannot choose how you're going to be treated, what's going to take place. You cannot choose that. But you can choose, no matter what you go through, how you respond. I will either choose to respond in faith or I'll respond in fear. I'll respond with praise or I'll respond with, you know, panic. I'll either choose to win or I'll choose to whine. But you have that choice. You can't choose. And that's the one thing I teach people all the time is, listen, the quicker you accept what you cannot change, the quicker God can actually begin to change you. Okay? All right? Your past, what you've gone through, what you've dealt with, yes, it may describe you to a point, but it doesn't have to define you. Do you understand? It might describe what you went through. It might describe and list, you know, parts of your history, but it does not have to define you. All right? You get to choose how you respond to these circumstances. So what happens in life, what really matters most is not what happens to you, all right? It's not the most important thing, but what happens in you is the most important thing. How you choose to respond makes or breaks so many people, all right? And if you have applied this word, those first two steps, God's part, giving you his word, being led by the Spirit, then a lot of us are going to miss that mess. Everybody say, miss the mess. That's God's best plan. It is. That's his best for you. He wants you to miss the mess. Why in the world would he want you to go through what Jesus already went through for you? All right? The problem is a lot of times we are stubborn and we don't respond the way we should, we don't apply and listen the way we should, we don't study and pray the way we should, and so we end up going through a circumstance that we have to, you know, that God still works through because he's good, but it's a little more difficult, a little more difficult, all right? Romans 5, 3 and 4, we can be full of joy here and now, even through trials, even through troubles. These very things, these trials and troubles will give us patient endurance. This in turn develops a mature character. It develops that character, all right? Remember what I said a little bit ago. Fruit is produced. It's grown from the inside out, not from the outside in, all right? And so for that fruit to be produced on the inside, you've got to be connected. And then you've got to choose to respond in the right way, even through a difficult situation, all right? You get to choose that. God's given you everything you need to grow, everything you need to change. But he says it's up to you. It's your choice, all right? What do we want to change the most about ourselves? We know I got my list. I know things that I still want changed in me. And, you know, the power to change, it comes from God's power and it comes from our choices. All right? That's how this works. When you choose to do the right thing, God gives you the power. All right? He gives you the power in those moments. And so God says, listen, whatever it is you want changed, make sure it lines up to my word. And then I'll make sure I give you the power for that change to take place in your life. All right? This is how this works. He cooperates with us. All right? God has promised in his word. He not only wants to give you the desire to change, but he wants to give you the power to change as well. All right? You love him. He's called you. But he says, listen, I don't want you just changing for the sake of changing. I want to give you the ability to change too. Remember, he's that energy that backs that change up, that inspires that change, that helps us to overcome, helps us to break free, helps us to break through, all right? But he does it through his word. He does it through his spirit. And if we don't listen, he'll use circumstances. If we'll go back to that word, trust him.